golden memories. I was going to say Day of Golden Memories. And it is great. If you were there then, you'll read it for fun. And if you weren't there then, read it to find out how it was. Long before they had TV, let alone TV dinners. And how things went on when everybody was poor, but everybody, according to him, was happy. And he's had some testimonials. He'll be here to talk to us in a minute. In fact, I read in Celebrity Register where his father was a cartoonist in a little town in Indiana, and his mother was a mother-type mother. So for this reason, I have worn my Mother Hubbard today. I know I'll get a lot of squawks from my own mother. Don't worry about that, but I've taken the risk. Now, we have a few testimonials for Gene Shepherd. Let's hear them, shall we?
Excuse me, sir. Do you like Gene Shepherd?
No, thank you. No.
Care to give me an opinion on Gene Shepherd?
Pardon me?
Did you care to give me your opinion of Gene Shepherd?
Gene Shepherd? Oh, you mean the man that went in space and then he went to the moon, you mean?
Care to give me your opinion of Gene Shepherd?
Don't know it. What do I think of Gene Shepherd? Who is Gene Shepherd? I'm from Arizona.
Gene Shepherd?
He? Would you mind giving me your opinion of Gene Shepherd?
No comment.
Maybe he'll have a comment. Say hello, Gene Shepherd.
Come on, let's hear it, Jay.
Now, Gene, with all of the radio and the TV work that you've done, your own show now on WOR, and all summer you did Gene Shepherd's America, right, the TV show?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Why do you like coming back to WCAU?
I don't know. It's kind of like home, you know. At an important time in my life, I was working here in Philadelphia, and I just like Philadelphia. There's a nice feeling about it, you know. There's nothing like Lancaster Pike on a quiet Saturday night. When the fist fights are breaking out in that area, I love it.
What do you mean by your mother was a mother-type mother?
I never said that. Celebrity Register said that. I don't know how the hell they know my mother.
Well, she was the one
she
who...
She drank a lot, you know.
She was the one who was always making the meatloaf with the ketchup on the top and the red cabbage.
Well, that wasn't really because she was a good mother. It's just because she was a bad cook. Which I suppose is typical of mothers, anyway.
What was it better then than now? Back in those days?
No, actually, Betty, I, you know, I was listening to you talk about my book before I came on. And I think if you really seriously read it, you'll find that what I say in that book is that there were never any good old days. That everybody, oh, this is a great myth, you know, that kids struck out when I was a kid. They had Portnoy's complaint when I was a kid.
They did not.
Oh, yes, they did. You weren't Portnoy. As a matter of fact, you weren't a boy either. and I think one of the great American myths is that there was such a thing as the good old days. It's hard to believe that now, right now, 1971, I think that in 20 years, people are going to walk around who are kids now and they say, oh, you know, people were so different in 1971.
So simple
they were
and
so
good.
Yeah, they had real basic emotions. And I think this is a common myth.
Well, you know what it is? Maybe by everybody's good old days are those growing up years.
That's
before
right.
The responsibility and the work and your health starts to fail. And,
that's correct.
There's too many taxes and too
exactly.
little time and all the rest of it. So everybody's good old days is when they were young.
That's correct. In fact, you see that? The reason that I use childhood in a lot of my stories, some of the people here today might have heard me tell stories. And I tell them in the first person, is really just sort of a hypothetical kid. It's not really me. It's fiction, you see, but it's fiction based on fact. And the reason I use childhood is the one thing that everybody has shared, regardless of race or religion or color or creed, we were all once seven. And as seven, you know, you look around at the world. Very few people really have ever seriously forgotten being a child.
You'll have to forget for a minute because we're going to take a message. We'll be back.
I've been taking messages all my life, Betty.
Gene has Mama just told me that all the stories from Wanda Hickey's Night of Golden Dreams.
It's Wanda Hickey's Night of Golden Memories and Other Disasters.
Well, who in the world, how do you expect to sell a book like that with such a long title? I mean, it's real funny, but...
I should have called it Moby Dick.
Well, although on the other hand, remember that thing, oh, Dad, poor Dad, Mom, hang him in the closet, hung him in the closet, and I'm feeling so bad. That went over nicely.
In spite of it, yeah.
Right. But that is a real long title. And you tell me they all appeared in Playboy.
Yes, they did. Right after the center pulled out. I came from the other side of Wanda Hickey.
I must confess, we don't subscribe to Playboy. And I will also confess that one time my mother found a copy of Playboy in our third floor, which was boys' dormitory at the time. The boys were maybe 12, 14, 15, and she brought it down. She just happened to find it up there. Where did you happen to find it? Between a spring and mattress. You know, it just happened to
and
jump out.
For 3 hours she examined it, yes. Like my mother. You know, Betty, that reminds me of a very funny thing that happened to me when I was... This is something that... I don't know about girls, but boys go through this period when they're about... Oh, anywhere from about 8 through about 12, maybe 13. They're fantastic. Tremendous curiosity about girls. And at the same time...
You mean it stops at 12?
Oh, it starts early, much earlier than that. It doesn't stop. Then after that, you go into action. But... That's very different, Betty. but you know, a girl, I remember a girl is always something that you see across the street. She's always a fantastic speller. And Esther Jane Albury was the typical girl of my life. You know, and one day, my mother and father were out. It was on a weekend. And I, like many kids, I get this urge to go around and look at stuff I shouldn't look at, you know. And they had a bookcase in their bedroom, which was strictly off limits. Mm-hmm. And I found this book.
The moment of truth.
That's right. And here it is. It's Saturday afternoon, and I'm looking around in the house all by myself. You know that excitement of the illicit? And I go into the bedroom, and I find this book. It was Boccaccio's Decameron. And I knew it was about Italian.
How shrewd of you.
And it had woodcuts in there, see. And I remember, I couldn't understand what it was about. It was all about abbots and abbesses and convents. And I remember reading the word cuckold, and I thought it had to do with birds. And every week I snuck in there, and I read two or three. I knew it was wrong, and yet I couldn't understand it yet. I vaguely knew it was is evil, somehow sexy.
But and you I didn't know how, but you figured it was...
Read the whole thing, and 2 months later, I made a book report on it. I'm serious. I handed it in to Miss Nelson. I thought she'd like that. I wrote a book by an Italian. See, it was a very important book. And she wrote on the top, and she says, "Where did you get that book?" Then I was scared. I can't
tell her. You figured at the next PTA she was going to tell them.
Well, I just knew that it was wrong, and I said, well, I got it from a kid on the playground.
That's what they always say. Some kid, I forget his name, I met him on Nassau Street.
He turned me on to Cracker Jack, too. That was.
You know where my husband told me he used to get his kicks in those days? Looking at the corset ads in the Sears and Roebuck catalog.
That man was governor.
Our boys just die when he says that. He says, that was a poor man's Playboy in Florence, New Jersey. You know, when your mother and father would be out, you leap through.
Much more graphic.
Ladies' foundation garments and his eyes would...
size 32 to 76.
Now, look,
my God.
We're getting kind of close to home now. Watch this.
It's a great show, isn't it, gang?
You said a while ago that I called it the good old days, but your dad didn't think they were the good old days.
No, I don't think there is such a thing. You know, one of the great essays on that was written by Plato. Plato wrote an essay in which he said that the civilization was decaying. And he said people don't have the gentility and the graciousness that they used to have, and youth is really rotten. Now, this was written how many thousands of years ago? This persists all throughout history. I remember my father, for example, who, my dad, he was a great Benny Goodman fan. You know, he was a typical man of the 30s. I was a little kid, and I really grew up in the 40s. And I remember bringing home, say, Dizzy Gillespie records. He'd look at me, and he says, "That you call that music? Such noise." And they're still saying that. It just goes on and on and on. And it's, I think today, the only difference today is that there's a great deal of interest in it in the media. So a lot of people write about the differences between the ages, and so it's always assumed this is the first time it's happened.
I guess you're
right. But nobody ever wrote about the fact I put my old man down every minute on the hour, every hour.
Yeah.
I remember one time sitting there talking to Schwartz, you know, my friend. We're both 12, see? And we had seen a word written on a fence.
Now, come on. Now, this is a family-type show.
Well, the word said, "Hello." Betty, what kind of a mind do you have? I don't know what word you're thinking of. And I remember back in the garage, Schwartz says, "I wonder what that means." And I said, "I don't know." And he says, "Do you think my father knows?" We both sat there for a minute. I says, "Oh, him? How do you mean him? He doesn't know anything." Schwartz says, "Yeah, he can't even drive the car." So this is a standard thing, you know. I think, and I'm not one of these people who goes around and says that everything is the same as it ever was. I don't believe that at all. But I don't believe at any point change has ever stopped, and I don't think it's new. I think, again, this one of the famous quotations from the Greek, and I believe it's Aristotle. He said that the only thing permanent is change. And that's literally the truth, that as we go, we go. That's it. But to say that one period was better than the other is to simply say, well, you weren't alive in that period.
Maybe so. It seems to me that the late 20s were really great. But as I remember the wringer washer and the wash tubs and the scrub board, I can remember my mother boiling diapers and stirring them with a wooden stick. You asked her about the late 20s.
She probably loved that, yeah.
Yuck.
So you remember your mother doing it, not you. What a great audience you have here.
Tell me how you account for this. That even though you talk about the days we've just been talking about, you know, and you and Schulze behind the back fence and all the rest of it, that you're so terribly popular. In fact, there's one child in the studio today, 13 years old, he'd get mad, young man, who has cut school with his father's permission because they're both hooked on your radio show. Now, isn't that something? Now, how do you account for the appeal that you have to these youngsters who don't remember?
Well, Betty, I don't want to become pompous about this, but maybe I'll have to.
Do if it fits.
All right. A little pomposity with a little raisins
on
top. Not bad at all. Little whipped cream around the edges. But I think, and I don't think I've ever really said this other than on my own radio show, because I really feel it. I think one of the great myths today that we have is the myth that everything is different. I don't write about any time. So you read this book and you relate it to your time.
I do.
All right. This is not really what it's about. My writings and my work are about how it feels to be an American growing up in the 20th century. Now, I say the 20th century. Now, a kid reading my book or my short stories, particularly in Playboy. For example, last month I had a story in Playboy about summer camp called The Mole People, Battle of Forces of Darkness. I don't know whether any of you read that story.
He always has big titles.
Well, the kids who read it, a lot of kids read it who are in camp now, currently, this minute, 15 years old. I got thousands of letters from kids saying, "Gee, you must have been at my camp." See, I write about American ritual, the summer camp, remains almost the same. There's a story in Wandahickey about the county fair. Now, a lot of people in the East, reading that story, tend to think that I'm writing about a county fair in Indiana when I was a kid. That's not true. That is based on the Flemington, New Jersey fair, which I was at in 1969.
I was there every year for 8 years.
Well, then you know it. I mean, you stood knee-deep on the midway.
Right, and I stepped over the goat stuff.
Yeah, oh, please, Betty. The ladies show you. They don't know goats do that. That's right. But the point I'm making here is that a kid reading my work, he sees it as writing about the way it really is to be a child. In fact, one of the reviewers, there was a reviewer who wrote in a big Alabama newspaper, Tuscaloosa. He said that Shepherd's work is about the way it really is to be a child, not the candy cane confections of nostalgic adults.
Right.
You notice the kids in my stories almost invariably lose.
Mm-hmm. And yet,
that's real
do you
right.
think that dating story, which I enjoyed so well, when he went around to take Daphne Bigelow to the movies,
yeah.
that wouldn't happen now.
You don't think
as
so?
She'd call for him with cut-off blue jeans.
No, only if... Wait a minute. May I say this, Betty? Only in certain parts of the country. You got to remember that the Eastern Seaboard has its own set of mores. And we recognize the South as a part of the country that's different from ours. The Midwest, the East, and the West are all different. And I think that a lot of things which don't happen here in Philadelphia or don't happen in New York are just as contemporary. In other words, they're happening all the time in the rest of the country.
You mean there could literally be in this country right now a boy who put on his best shirt and a tie and a sport coat with sweaty palms, walk up to his girl's door for the first date and punch the doorbell and kind of get real shaky? You honestly think that's how? I wish it would be.
Well, if you don't think so, you ought to read the advice to the daters in Playboy.
Well, I have not done that.
Well, you should. I mean, practically every third letter is about, I've been watching this girl for 2 weeks and I'm scared to ask her for a date. What do I do? Now, I really think one of the things that's happened in the country is that we've come to not, we don't look around any longer. We really seriously don't. Now, here's an example. I played Bloomfield College. You know, I play a lot of colleges. And I played Bloomfield College last Saturday. This is only a couple of days ago. And part of the show, I was asked to introduce the homecoming queen. Well, here the queen came up on the right up here on the stage, and all of her court were with her, and they were dressed exactly, you know, the long dresses with the terrible-looking orchid. That flower always looks like it's about to throw up, you know. Big tongue hanging out, you know. And all these girls were standing around up there with their purple dresses, looking very uncomfortable. They were sweating. Their hair was all made up. They had ribbons. And standing next to them, each one had their escort. And they had these suits that looked like they were made out of sandpaper. They were all standing there. Now, had I described that scene in one of my stories, you would have said, you mean people really do that? Well, I was there this Saturday and made that presentation. And later after the show, Betty, I went out to had dinner, and there was a lady there who was a doctor. Asked me that question. And I said, for heaven's sakes, you mean you weren't in that audience tonight? You didn't see those girls with their corsages and their nervous escorts and all that? She says, yeah. I said, but didn't you really look at them? Did they look any different? The dresses are exactly the same.
Well, I admit,
the high waist,
yeah.
The nose sweats.
I'll tell you, I do hear it on the telephone. One time someone said that many people who are or have been in political life have their telephones tapped. I said to Dick, does that worry you? He said, not at all. Whoever had to listen to our telephone would deserve what he gets. He said, hi. Well, when he said hi in the hall, and I said hi in the hall, did I say hi first?
There you go.
Well, on.
You know, I wish I was important enough to have my phone tapped.
I'll be right with you. This summer, when you did the show Gene Shepherd's America,
yep.
We've got a clip from it, and if any of our audience, either here or at home, hadn't seen it, we thought it would be fun for them to take a look at what it was all about.
This is not one of the dirty clips.
All red sails in a sunset, lot of give her a little more power here. There, ease it up there just a bit. Exactly 2,000 RPM. Now we're cooling along just the way we should be. Oh, red sails in the sunset. Oh, this is the life. Just moving along here in a brand new houseboat. Nice, soft sound of those engines purring behind me. This houseboat sleeps 8. Here I am all alone. I have the option to pick the other 7. That is, it'll sleep 8 if they're rear friendly. That's the only kind you should have on a houseboat.
Oh, what a job. And you toured the whole country just doing things that you wanted to do.
Anything I wanted to do. It was like a performer's dream.
Well, how do you get such a deal? I'd like that.
Talent and connections.
Uh-oh. Well, I think, I'm kind of behind the eight ball with both.
You got the talent. I know the governor, though. I may be able to fix it for you.
That would be really great. If I play my cards right, I get taken out for a hamburger on Friday night after we go to the supermarket.
Well, Betty, that show was so much fun to do. We went all the way from... We really traveled America. We went all the way out to Maui, out in Hawaiian Islands, up in Nome in Alaska.
Nice work if you can get it, huh?
We were in a place called Little America, Wyoming.
They were running out of time.
Haddonfield, New Jersey.
Right, that's...
Singer and actress Ellie Stone joins Betty tomorrow morning. This program was recorded.